name is John Bayliss, and welcome again to this Gospel Miracle Hour. So pleased you've joined us. If you joined us for the first time, then welcome. Friends, I have good news for you. God loves you more than you will ever realize. He likes you, and he has a destiny for you to fulfill. I'd like to open and pray. Lord, I pray you grant to your servant great boldness this day to bring your word, that, Lord, that you'd stretch forth your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. For this reason, the Son of God was made manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And all God's children said, Amen. Well, we'll look at Luke 15:20, Jesus giving this parable. What does God think of you, or what is his nature like? We go to Luke 15:20. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, fell on his neck and kissed him. Friends, this parable, this prodigal son, this reckless, wasteful son who squandered his life with no regard for anyone, even his father. There was no guarantee of his repentance. Perhaps he was returning to demand more money. Yet in this parable, we see the father rushing towards his prodigal son as soon as he was within sight. It's the same for you and me. Your heavenly father, God comes rushing towards you. It may not be your first time. You may be, you've gone to church before and you may have backslidden, but it makes no difference. When you turn to the Lord, he runs towards you. It's the only time in the Bible where we see God run, and he runs to anyone, son or daughter, that comes home. Through the Gospels, Jesus is compassionate. His words and power transform and heal physical and emotional, one person at a time. Even in his rage and harsh word to the Pharisees and Sadducees, they were the religious leaders of that time, he is motivated by a heart broken over their dead faith and heavy burdens they're inflicting on others. Jesus proclaims his desire that no one should perish. We see in John 3:16 and 17, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world. He did not send his Son to punish anybody, but that the world through him might be saved. And salvation or saved means healed and deliverance. You cannot separate them. It's the same. Friends, no matter how low you are, no matter what disposition has been, you may be low in your thoughts, words and actions. You may be selfish. Your heart may be overflowing with corruption and wickedness. Yet Jesus will have compassion upon you. God is telling us something about his nature. God loves you. He always has, and he always will. We look at Romans 5:8. It says that this is extravagant love. God didn't simply say, I love you. He said it with torn flesh, in agony, and bearing unearned vicious punishment. God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Friend, he did it for me and you. This free gift of eternal salvation is now being offered to you. To know God's love and mercy and not accept it changes nothing in your life. A gift you do not receive is of no value. As you've heard, God has paid a very high price for your sin, and eternal life is now available to you. See, friends, man does not come to know God through works. You cannot work your way towards heaven. You cannot moralize your way. You cannot reform your way. And you cannot buy your way. It comes as a free gift of God through Christ. But friends, only you can make the choice to receive it. Loved one, we don't have the promise of another hour, another day. Now is the best time to repent and commit your life to Christ as your Lord and Savior. So friends, will you pray with me? Just follow me along in this simple prayer. Follow me along. Dear Heavenly Father, please forgive me of all my sins. I believe that Jesus is the Christ. He died on the cross for my sin and sickness. Come into my heart and life. I take you as my Lord and Savior. Fill me with your precious Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, friend, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, I believe you got born again. Get into a good Bible-based church. Friend, you are unique. That means there are things God wants you to do for him that he's not calling anyone else on earth to do. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Friend, may the power of his blood liberate you from your past, purge you from your present, present you faultless to the Father, and give you the blessed of the Lord that maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray for you. Amen. Well, the message, today's word, starts with John 6:12, today's word. After everyone was full, Jesus told his disciples, now gather the leftovers so nothing is wasted. So the message for today is nothing wasted. The Bible tells us of a time when Jesus fed a crowd of 5,000 families with only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. That day, everyone had more than enough to eat, and there was still 12 basketfuls of bread left over. That's because we serve a God of abundance. When Jesus told the disciples to collect all the leftovers, he said, do it, so that nothing is wasted. With God, nothing is ever wasted. He never wastes an experience. He never wastes a hurt. He never wastes a dream. He never wastes a single piece of bread. If you felt like you've wasted years of your life in the wrong job or hanging around the wrong people, doing the wrong things, God will gather those years and restore them back to you. He'll take those experiences that the enemy meant for your harm and turn them around for your good. He'll make you stronger, wiser, and better off than you were before. He can launch you further into your destiny than before. Be encouraged today, because with God all things are possible and nothing is ever wasted. So my prayer for you today is that, Father, I pray that you give every bit of their life, their past, their present, and their future. Thank you for taking every experience in their lives and turning it around for their good, that they may know nothing is ever wasted, in Jesus' name. So the wisdom key for today is, what you respect, you will attract. And also, God never consults your past to determine your future. Right, this part of the message, we're going to be praying for the sick. Healing is part of your redemption. The need for restoration of the truths of healing is so important today for 2 major reasons. Firstly, when parents see their children sick, their love drives them to do all in their power to see them healed and well again. Similarly, our Heavenly Father wishes his children to be healed. Jesus only did the Father's will and demonstrated his love by healing everyone who came to him. Matthew 4:23. Now Jesus went about healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of diseases among the people. Matthew 8:16. And he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick. Matthew 12:15. And great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all. Acts 10:38. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We see that healing demonstrates the Father's heart of God, who still wishes to draw every person on this earth to himself. Secondly, Jesus used the healings as a sign of his proof of his divinity. When confronted with a crippled man in Luke 5, Jesus forgave his sins. The religious men queried his authority to forgive sin. He challenged them and said in Luke 5:23, which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, rise and walk? But you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. He said to the man who was paralyzed, I say to you, rise, take up your bed and go to your house. The man was healed, but the event shook the people. They were all amazed, and they glorified God. The miracle silenced his critics and proved beyond doubt his ability to forgive sin and heal all kinds of sicknesses. Now it's the church's time. He gave the power and authority to the church, to his believers. In Acts 8:6, Philip in Samaria, and the multitudes with one accord heeded or listened to the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles he did. Acts 3:12, we find that Peter, after raising a cripple again, gave the explanation, "Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why do you look so intently at us, as though by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk?" In 1 Peter 2:24, "Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the cross, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness. By his stripes you were healed." His back was scourged so that your sicknesses could be healed. This was part of the divine exchange at Calvary. 1 John 3:8, "For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." Psalm 147:3, "He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds." Those with emotional hurts and rejection, Jesus said, "I have good news, you can be healed." Proverbs 18:21, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit." Friends, speak positive words only. Listen to healing scriptures and read them. I pray, Holy Spirit, if what I've said is from you, then confirm your word with signs, wonders, and creative miracles. And the power of the Lord is present to heal. Now, lay your hands on that part of the body that needs a miracle as I begin to pray. It's the Holy Spirit that heals. Believe you received and you will have. So Lord, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Son of the living God, I bind and break the power of every infirmity and I cast you out. I rebuke every form of disease. I rebuke every cancer. I bind and break the power of every kind of tumors and leukemia. You are cursed at the root. As Jesus cursed the fig tree, so you are cursed, and I pull you out by the roots in Jesus Christ's name. I command you to die, and I cast you out in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Holy Spirit, as I loose your healing power. Anybody that's got pains or cysts or need something with their heart or with their kidneys or lungs, right now, I bind and break every power that's causing that problem. And I command you, release them now and set them free. Go from them. I command health and healing into every physical body, from the crown of their head to the soles of their feet. Then I pray that divine health freely flows, thank you, Holy Spirit, into the lives of the listeners. I speak and I command it. Every person that's in torment, that is stressed, I break the power of it, bind and break the power, be healed and made whole, for your name is Jehovah Shalom, our peace. I give you praise, Father, that the enemy has been defeated right now, and the peace of God has now healed every broken heart. Broken hearts are healed. Emotions are being healed. Every sorrow is lifted right now. Every burden and yoke, burdens of sickness and pains, destroyed by the power of God. Because you, our Lord, are the joy of the morning. You, our Lord, are more than enough. You, our Lord, are our strength and our song, and we magnify your holy name. I thank you that you are our righteousness, amen. You are our shepherd. You are a divine giver of life. So let the power of this blessing rest upon you and in you, and be imparted by you when you use God's word in the authority of Jesus' name. You're a Christian, you can pray for yourself, you can pray for others. And know that it is God's will for you to be healed. Believe you've received and you will have. As I said before, divine healing can be instantaneous, but it can often be also be progressive, where it unfolds over a period of time. We see that in Mark 8 and Luke 17. But the Bible says, you shall recover, you shall get well. Have faith in God, and use your authority as a believer. And make sure you're living in right relationship with God and each other. You must forgive. Friends, we must forgive, dude. Hold on to grudges of being vindictive and walk in love. Maintain a good confession. Your words are powerful. You're powerful. It's life and death is in the power of your words. Do not doubt or hold on to unbelief. So my prayer for you now, the final prayer, may the Lord bless you and may the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you, giving you his peace. May you walk in the benefits of the cross in the authority of Jesus' name as conquerors, victorious and confident, knowing that whatever the challenge of tomorrow may be, Christ with you is everything you're going to be, and everything is going to be all right. Shalom. Amen.
Oh.